Now we're going to discuss things that are Metzias. Till now we've been discussing Darkei HaKinyonim on Metzias without discussing the Pratim of whether all Metzias are returned. So the real Mokim for this discussion is in Perek Sheni. That's where we're going to have the Dinim of which Metzias you're allowed to keep, which Metzias you have to return, so on and so forth. Here we're going to go into more specific Nekudos of reasons why you wouldn't return, not because there's no chiv hashava, but because you can't return. Listen to the din of the Mishnah. Motzish shtare choiv. A person finds a shtar choiv. It says, Yankel on the street picks up a shtar choiv that says that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Im yesh b'machrayis nechosim lo yachzir. If there's a shibud written in the shtar, that the loiva, which is the standard, that the loiva is mishabed his karkois to the malva. Normally, milva balpeh, whether that din is deraisa derabonon is a good question. Pash is a din derabonon. Mideraisa, as soon as Reuven lends money to Shimon, all of Shimon's possessions, both karka and both metaltalin, are mishubed to Reuven. If they're sold, Reuven could go be goive from the one who's sold to. There's a chrayis. However, midrabbonon, they limited the shibud nechosim to be able to go collect by somebody else only to karka and only to shtarei choiv, only to a milva b'shtar. Now, we have no idea if this choiv is legal tender, if it's a choiv that's relevant, because we have no idea who the shtar choiv fell from. Is this a shtar choiv that's still outstanding or not? Therefore, to return it to the malva is providing him with a loaded gun that he could go al pi bezin, he could collect from others that own the chosin that was sold by the loiva. You can't do that. You can't facilitate that. So therefore, the halacha is lo yachzim. Ein bem achrayis nechosim tishtar choiv. Does not have achrayis nechosim. It's not mentioned, the pashtus of the shtar is, it's not mentioned in the shtar. And that means that this shtar cannot be collected. It cannot be used to collect from a shubodim. So then yachzim. Shein bezin nifroin mehen. The Mishnah says, Kneich. Ein bezin nifroin mehen from the lekuchos. Divrei Remei holds that you take the shtar at face value. If the shtar does not have achrayis, then you can't collect from the shubodim. V'achachomim oimim ben kach lo yachzim. It doesn't make a difference whether the shtar mentions achrayis nechosim, they should bezin nifroin mehem. This is what's known in the famous Loshna of Chazal, achrayis toy soifer. Achrayis toy soifer means we assume that even if a shtar doesn't behead, you say collect from the kuchos, it's inherent in the shtar. Every shtar is that way. So mela, unless the shtar explicitly says that you can't collect from the chosim shabodim, you can, and therefore it doesn't make a difference whether it was written or not. So there's no major machloek saying hilchos metzia. The question, of course, is why are we concerned only that the choiv should be collected improperly from Mishubodim? Why don't we say that there's a problem that the shtar can be used to collect from the loiva? Maybe the shtar fell miyad ha-loiva. It never fell miyad ha-malva. If it fell miyad ha-malva, assume that a shtar that's biyad ha-malva is still legal tender, is still valid, the choiv is still outstanding, because what's called b'loshon chazal shtorcha biyodim ha-boy, if a malva shows up in Bezdin, and he shows the shtar to Bezdin will collect, no question to ask. Aye, maybe it was paid. The loiv is screaming parati. Doesn't make a difference. Why would you leave the shtar by the malva if it was paid? Shtorcha biyodim, my boy, why is it in my hands? So if it fell miyad ha-malva, you could assume that the shtar is legal. However, who says that the shtar fell miyad ha-malva? Maybe it fell miyad ha-loiva. So the Gemara, because of that, says that the Mishnah is talking about where the loiva was moida, that the choiv wasn't paid. So when he says, "Oh, does baldin kmeidim dami," believe the loiva that the choiv wasn't paid, return it to malva shalom al yisrael. The Teretz says his "Oh, does baldin" cannot be used to be chav to make a problem for the lekuchos. We're talking over here, the Rishonim explained, the Rav brings, is that the Loivis sold his property, Karkois, to Lukuchas, Bli Achrayis. So it's not that we know that he sold Bli Achrayis, it's that whenever there's a shtar to give it back, we have to be Choshish, that maybe he sold the field Bli Achrayis. So then, the Loivis is going to come to lose, the Lukuchas are going to come to lose, and Ahoydoz Baldin B'mokim Shechav L'Acherim doesn't work. You could say, oh, he does baldin to be mechayiv yisav, not to be mechayiv yenim. There's a chash over here of that the choiv was paid, and there's a knunya, there's a shtick going on, that maybe the loive said parati, and he's in cahoots with the malva, for the malva to be able to collect from the lechuchas, and he knows there's a field that wasn't, that's not covered by achrayus, he's not going to have to back it up, so he doesn't mind saying parati, and having the malva go to collect from the lechuchas. So because of that, that's why we wouldn't return the shtar. The Gemara adds another knetch. That's for sure, that if a malva shows up in Bezin, and the loive says, it's not parua, he's moide that he owes the money. So that's for sure, that if the loive doesn't have any money, his hoidah is baldin, he's just not contesting the shtar. If he's not contesting the shtar, it's a mill, the malva goes and collects from the lekuchas. That's any tzorach lefnim. The nekuda over here is, since the shtar fell down, now there's a raise of a fanenu. Shtar fell down, so we don't see a kosher shtar. A shtar fell down that the malva dropped it itself is a shtickle reisa in the authenticity and the kashrus of the shtar. Therefore, we have to have our antennas up. We have to start thinking. Who says to return to the malva? Maybe the loiva will say shtick back and forth. That's where it comes up. There's one last nekuda to mention over here, and that is that there's a machlekes rishonim, a Rambam, Ravid, other rishonim. The loshon of nimish is lo yachzim. Many places in Shas, that loshon sounds like a lechatchila. Lechatchila, don't return it. What happens, let's say, the moitzi did return it to the malva. Could you use it? The Rambam says you can. The Ravid says not. The Ravid understands that the shtar has a reisa, and now we don't see a shtar kosher. So maybe it can't be used, even though now it's biyad malva. It doesn't have the ganze toikiv of a shtar, and the loiva could say parati. Or rather, in this case, we don't believe the loiva. The lekuchas could say maybe parua, and you won't collect. There's no stomius of a kosher shtar that the lekech can't challenge. Over here, the lekech can't challenge it. The Rambam holds the din lechatchila not to return it. But once the shtar is biyad hamalva, we see lemaisa shtar. A shtar biyad hamalva, the loiva could challenge it and say that it's not parua. There also, he won't be believed. He could challenge it by saying mezuif. The lekech can't challenge it at all. Mishnah Zayin. Motzer gitei noshim is other shtarois that are lost. And there's also a shaila of who dropped the shtar. If the woman dropped the shtar, then we assume that that means she's megureshes. If it fell miyad abal, the assumption is that he wrote a get, but Ladavki gave it over. So he could always claim that he didn't give it over. Shechru avodin the same. Who says that the odin was meshach of the bal? He wrote it, he didn't get yet to give it over. Diaitiki. A diaitiki is an interesting word. And it's a tzavo of a shchiv merah. And yonim that really we have above a basra. The word over here is dioy, like this is. Tiki is a tzavo. That's mekam, what to do with his property. So it's a word that has, this is mekim, the state of his affairs. This also could be a last will and testament that's biyad. Very often people hold on to it. Lavdavka, that it was executed. So Mela, to look at this and say that it's legal, that it's a valid shtar, namuchach, fell down. You don't know who dropped it. Or a matona. There's a gift certificate. Who says that the noisin actually gave it? Shoivrim, a receipt. The receipt could have been written by the malva for when he gets the money from the loiva, then he wrote the receipt, he's going to give it to the loiva. The receipt is, we know, was dropped by the person who can now prove that the choiv is not a choiv. I could claim, ksuvim hoyu, they were written, v'nimlach aleim shaloi litnam. The basic idea is over here, that the person wrote it to give when the situation is worked out. Lav dafka that it was given, or he was choizu on the maton or whatever. So, Mimela, how could you return it? Mishnah Ches. This Mishnah deals with shtaris that you can return. There's no chash of a problem. Motze Igret Shum. A letter of estimation. That means that Bezdin signed for a malva how much a certain property is worth, that the malva should be able to take that field away from the loiva's estate to pay up his choiv. This is a letter that was written by Bezin, drafted and signed by Dayanim. What could it be besides a shtar biyad hamalva authorizing him to collect that field at that price? the igres mozoin, or a shtar that's written that a husband is mechayev himself to support his wife. He got married to a woman who had children from a previous marriage, and he's mechayev himself, original hischayvus that he took on himself to support his wife's children. What would this shtar be if not for a legally drafted shtar? This shtar, by the way, is written by Bezin. This is not the guy writing his chayvus in his handwriting. Because then maybe you'll say, maybe he wrote it, but he wasn't actually mechayev himself. This is something that's written by Bezin enforcing that his chayvus. Shtori chalitza miyunin. These are letters attesting that the woman received chalitza, which means that her husband died without children. Her brother-in-law gave her chalitza, kemuvu m'sech zivomis. And this shtar allows her to get married. Miyunin is a yisoyma that was married off by a brother, by her mother. We have this in the end of Masech Sivamis by Richos, Chazal Masakin, that they could marry her off with the caveat that she could pull out of the marriage before she's 12. So this is a shtar. You have a young girl who was living in a husband's Rishos. They're living together as man and wife. She's 11 and a half, decides she doesn't want this to be actually her husband. She pulls out of the marriage. Bezin affirms that they write her out a shtar miyun that she is not married to the husband. Shtore birurin is the term that's used even today for a shtar that says that two parties accept on themselves certain dayanim. So what would that shtar be? It can't be drafted by dayanim. It has to be drafted by the parties. Kefi, whatever his chayvus, they're mechayv committing themselves to be mizdayin in front of this bezdin. And they sign it. So if that's what it is, obviously there's a valid, a legal right for this bezdin that done them. There's no reason not to give it back. For chol maise bezdin, the Mishnah gives a klal. All maise bezdin, for instance, the Gemara says, it means, let's say, bezdin has a shtar allowing the malva to collect from a loiv. It's still the shtar shum that we had before, igre shum, is the estimation, the shuma of the property. Here is the etzem fact that Bezdin is allowing them to collect. These are known in the Gemara as shtori chaltoso, shtori adrachto. It's already more similar. Shtori chaltoso is to be machlit the field that should go over to the loiv. It's similar to an igre shum, but an igre shum is when the estimate is made with the loiv, and this is a shtar that's made without the loiv. Shall loiv b'fanav if he's not around. And if the bezin doesn't have a field to estimate and to value and to give the malva right to take, they write him a shtar, drachto, which is another type of shtar, which allows for the malva to search, what we call today discovery, to see whether there are assets they doesn't know about. It allows him to poke around in records and other places. So Areza Yachse, again, these are things that are only written by a bezin after the decision is final and firm, and therefore there's no shasha peroyin, so therefore they could be returned to the proper party. Now we're going back to shtoros that could be returned, even though they belong to the category of shtoros with bezin, there would be a chash that they fell from the wrong party and they shouldn't be given back. Shtori choiv, etc., the case of the Mishnah Vav Zayin. Motzev v'chafiso, he found a bunch of shtoros in some type of pouch. A chafiso is something that's made out of leather. A luskama is something else similar. Either one, he found a bunch of shtoros, a bunch of legal documents. Driver's license, different shtori choivis, a birth certificate, v'chule v'chule. People carry around legal documents in some type of pouch. At the shei case, it would be biyomenu. Tachrich shel shtoros, or he found shtoros that are tied to each other, that are bound to each other. Oy agude shel shtoros. This is a different way of putting together shtoros. The one way is binding, the way we bind svarim together. One way is more like a tying, where you could take them apart. But lemaisa, right now they're together. Clearly they were put together by somebody willingly. Hareze yachsim. You have to return them. The reasoning behind this is very simple. The party who lost the shtoros will identify with the simon. It's his birth certificate, it's his marriage license, it's other legal documents that he have. There happens to be one shtar here that could have fallen from him, could have fallen from him, but if he identifies it, clearly it fell from him. We're going to learn in Yetz Hashem the next pact, Allah, of identifying something with a simon. That's the sure proof way to identify that fell from the person who has the simon. Says the Mishnah, v'kama aguda shel shtaros, that's called a simon, even the amount. He doesn't have to say exactly what's on the shtaros. Shloisha, hakshurin zebazeh, they're tied to each other. There we see it as one group. If you could identify it, so that means that we know it fell from you. The other party wouldn't have had the idea as to what was put together with the shtar that's relevant to him. Rav Shimon Gamli aloyme, echer aloyve mishloisha, yachzer leloyve. Another way of making an objective decision who something fell from is if you have three shtaris that are written against one loive, and it says Yankel borrowed from Reuven, from Shimon, from Levi. Now, why does Yankel have those three shtaris? Clearly, he paid his debts, and he's holding on to these shtaris as evidence. Nobody should be able to claim chayvus from him. So, yachzer leloive, pashut. Shloisha haloive me'echod. What happens if they all have the same name of the malva? The Yankel is the Malvin to three people. So clearly, Yankel's holding on to Chavis that are outstanding. So then Yachzel the Malvin. Chavis Gans Poshut. Pashtus, and this is a klal, whenever we have Reb Shimon Gamliel Loimer, Reb Shimon Gamliel is not arguing. He's being moisiv on the din of the Mishnah. Motze Shtab Ben Shtaroysev. Here's a knetch that we haven't had. Let's say a person, nothing was lost. Person has a file of documents at home. There he finds a shtar that's not shaykh to him. It's not his personal records. It's not a chayv that he owed. It's not a chayv anyway. It's a chayv between two people. It's not what she do with it. It's not on the street. Nobody lost it. It was put by him. Obviously, somebody put it by him for safekeeping. The shtar is who? Any edem ativoy. He doesn't know how it got to him. Here we have a din where when we have something that could create a problem if you return it, so then you have to leave it where it is. And there's no choice. What are you going to do? They're arguing about who it belongs to. There's problems, like we said before, returning a shtar chayv when maybe the shtar chayv will create problems. You have to hold on to it. If the amalva finds between shtar chayvus that he has, he has different notes of debt against different people. That's what he does. He invests in companies. He has chayvus that are outstanding that people owe him. And he finds a simpoin. Simpoin is like a shoivor that says that something is paid. Yase masha b'simpoinos. He has to nem on what it says in the simpoin. He should not collect with the shtar choiv that he has the choiv, even though he has the shtar choiv, but since there's a shoivor written on it, normal the shoivor is accurate. Now, why does he have the shtar? Normally, if a chayv is paid, so you'd give back, the malva would give it back to the loiva. Or the malva would hold on to the shtar, and the loiva would have a shayver. Over here, the malva has a shtar with a simpoin, with a shayver. It's unusual. But the ma'aseh, if it does happen, then he has to assume that the shayver was written accurately. Now, the Gemara adds that there's another piece of evidence that forces him to have to nemon that it was paid, is that it's found in a folder where there are shtaris that are no longer. Shtaris that are not relevant in what, that's where he finds this shtar. So there, that's why he has to nemen on as that it was paid. But if he finds it amongst his valid shtaris, there is another possibility. There's a possibility that he wrote the shtar, he has the shtar, he's a malva. He wrote the shoiver that when the loiver comes over to him, he should be able to keep the shtar, but he gives the loiver the shoiver. So that's why he had the shoiver with him. He had the shtar with the shoiver. The shoiver was on the shtar, but doesn't mean that it was actually paid. But if it's found in the file of shtaris that are botl muvutl, there he has to assume that that's the case. So with this, we finish the first parak above Metziah. We're going to start Mitzvah Hashem now, the dinim of Metziah, the etzem mitzvah, and the parameters of the mitzvah of Hashavas Avedah.